Thanks for nothing. It's Snescapades, a chronological journey through the North American Super Nintendo library with a few pit stops along the way. We play them briefly, we judge them harshly, we rank them. That is pretty much all you need to know. I am Chase Keys.
I'm Emmy Zero.
And folks, okay. All right, everyone, let's think back. Let's think back to happier times for January 1994 really quick before we go any further.
Yeah.
Let's think about how great this month has been so far. We got
two all-timers, really. So
yeah, two amazing games came out this month. Probably two games that would enter the top 10 if we were still individually, you know, numerically ranking these. One that's probably a new number one. So, you know, good stuff happening this month. You know, this was a great month for the Super Nintendo based on Mega Man X and Skyblazer alone.
Yeah. And even beyond Skyblazer, we had, you know, some pretty interesting games like, you know, Lester the Unlikely. Maybe not a great game, but an interesting one, certainly.
Yeah, certainly more fascinating than we were expecting.
Yeah, you know, and also Zool was there. So, you know.
And also Zool was there. And, you know, that was maybe not an amazing game, but, you know, Candy's fun.
Sure. Yeah.
Fun to eat, fun to crush, I hear. let's try and keep all that in mind. Let's keep in mind that two really great games came out this month as we talk about these games today, because holy hell, folks,
this is maybe the thinnest soup we've ever been fed by the Super Nintendo. This is the wrap for January of 94. And guys, we got basically four games worth talking about this month. Three, honestly, if we're being really, really upfront with ourselves. And then the rest of them are these ones.
This may be the fastest. This may be the shortest episode we've ever done. We'll see how it all plays out. Because I don't have a lot to say about many of these things. At least one of these games would send me into an hour-long political tirade if it were that kind of show, which we never get political on this show.
Not on this show, no, certainly. And there's not very many of them either. Like, this is a month that, you know, is a little bit bare in. I mean, it's remarkable, honestly, that the most prolific year for Super Nintendo releases. I think that's what this is, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Starting out with such a kind of, I don't know, dial tone of a month, you know? We have six games to talk about today, and you, as the listener, can go and look at the runtime for this episode and see how long we managed to string these out for, how much we had to say about any of them. We don't know that yet, but we're going to find out. And yeah, like Chase Keys, I'm betting we don't have a ton to say about these. So
yeah,
you know, just get into it. I mean, do you have anything else you want to preface this with before we jump into the first of these?
No, let's just rip off these six Band-Aids here and get it over with. Where do we want to start? Like, we could just spin a wheel, I guess, and just let it decide for us if I had such a thing.
Why not? Yeah, honestly.
I don't know. Is there any of these you want to start with just to get out of the way?
I don't know. I mean, you know what? Fine. Let's start with Super Solitaire, a game that I don't know why it exists.
All right, so folks, this is Super Solitaire. I should probably tell everybody who made this once I look it up, because one of the interesting things about the games, one of the only interesting things about the games we're talking about today, that I believe three of them have the same developer or publisher. I'm not sure which it is, but
I know two of these definitely were made by the same developer. Including this one.
Yeah, so this was developed by Beam Software. This was published. Okay, so yeah, this was one of the three games published by Extreme Entertainment Group,
which has a great logo. That's maybe the most positive thing I'm going to say about like any of these games, is that the Extreme Entertainment Group logo looks like a combination of every comic publisher logo from the 90s. Like, it's got a little bit of Malibu in there. It's got a little bit of Marvel in there. It implies something that the games they publish seem to have no means of delivering on.
No, not at all. Okay, you know what? Let's just do a deep dive really quick on Extreme Entertainment Group.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So according to Moby Games, they've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games to their credit. Two of those are Choplifter 3 variants. We'll talk about one of those. So basically 6 games, half of them we are going to be talking about in this episode.
Incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's all I know about these people. There's nothing else about them, I don't think, in Moby Games. They don't have any other information. Their history and trivia are all blank. So that's it. That's the deep dive. Thanks for coming.
Great. Yeah. Thrilling. Saying that for you, you did the best you could there. I just don't think there's anything else about these people to say, honestly. I wonder what the deal was with these folks. Like, was this like, you know, some other non-games business deciding to get into it and then shutting down immediately? Was it like a money laundering scheme? What was going on here?
I'm not seeing a Wikipedia page either, so your guess is as good as mine.
Fair enough. Well, let's talk about Super Solitaire, which was developed by Beam Software. There is actually another Beam Software game we're going to be talking about today, too, I think. This is a solitaire game. Very fun, free single-player card game that virtually everybody has access to either on their computer or because they own a deck of cards.
Yes.
So, here it is. There's, I think, 12 different variants of solitaire you can play in this game. And the presentation's not bad,
Yeah, the presentation is fine for a solitaire game. There's all these variations on solitaire, some of which, like, they had to have just made up, right? Like, this isn't...
I imagine, yeah.
Like, nobody plays, like, more than one or two variations of solitaire. Like,
yeah, right.
I've literally never heard of any of these, you know, dozens of variations on solitaire outside of games that are trying to justify the fact that they are just solitaire.
No, I mean, like, Free Cell is here. That's a real solitaire variant that I know of.
Yeah, sure.
I assume Scorpion is just Spider Solitaire under a different name.
Probably.
You know, like, yeah, there's a few here, but then there's many others that I don't. Who is going through every one of these and playing every variant of solitaire that they could come up with rules for? I don't think anybody's going to do that.
No. And I mean, like, look, here's the thing. Like, I don't know if whatever Windows version was out around this time was already offering solitaire as a free pack-in. I don't know if that was the case yet. Yeah. But it would have been, certainly by,
I think Windows 95 had the solitaire game. So okay, that's around the corner,
Yeah. So no more than 1 year then.
Yeah.
This would have been a thing. So here's what I could say about this game in its time and place. You'd be better off buying a deck of playing cards and then going and asking your grandmother how to play solitaire. She knows how to play solitaire. She might know one or two other variations of solitaire. Who knows?
Yeah, but that's right.
You've saved money because you only bought, like a $2 pack of playing cards instead of a $30 or $40 or $50 video game, however much this one cost. Your grandmother's happy because she got to spend a little time with you. Literally everybody is happier because you chose not to purchase this game. And this game has even less reason to exist now. So you have no reason to waste your time with it. You have no reason to waste your time fiddling with emulators because just type solitaire into your Google or your DuckDuckGo or whatever it is that you're using, and you will be playing free solitaire immediately.
The other thing here is that if you play this with a controller, it's very clunky. Like, it has actually really awkward button mapping. So the actual experience of playing solitaire is not good. This was mouse compatible, but you don't want to configure an emulator to use the Super Nintendo mouse just so that you can play a clunky, bad version of solitaire. Just don't play this.
Yeah, just don't play this. It's so pointless that there's really literally no reason for us to go into the actual merits and demerits of this game. There's no reason for it to exist. That was true then, and it's even more true now. And so, as a result, this has to go into the F tier, right?
Absolutely. It has to go into the F tier. F tier game, Super Solitaire, why does it exist?
Yeah, we could literally have just chosen not to play this and decided it was F tier based on its, you know, like, its reason for existing alone, right? Like,
yeah, that's true.
So there we go. Super Solitaire, first F game of 1994.
Yep.
Congratulations.
That's right. Well, do you want to pick the next one?
Yeah, let's just talk about Brett Hull hockey really quick. How about that?
Let's talk about Brett Hull hockey. I actually played a whole game of hockey in this. Which I think says more about the amount of free time I had to kill when I was trying to play these than it does anything else, because I didn't really have a great time. But this is all right. It's a hockey game.
Yeah, it seems fine for one of these. It's actually got like play-by-play commentary that's kind of clunky, but also like kind of novel for, you know,
it's kind of that
when it came out.
That bit of it is actually kind of neat, and it's very funny because this basically has one the like likeness rights for exactly one player, and that is Brett Hull.
Yes.
So when you're listening to that commentary, every player on the field is referred to just by like a number. It's like, you know, passes to D21. You know, it's very like speak and spell sounding. Like, you can very clearly hear the words are chopped up. But when Brett Hull is on the field, The thing does actually say, like, passes to Brett Hull. And it's very jarring because it's the only name you will ever hear in the thing, aside from the name of, like, a city for, you know, whatever teams are playing.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, it's an okay one of these. It's a hockey game. It's not really very different in terms of, like, play control from the other hockey game, some of the other hockey games we've played on the system, the more kind of realistic seeming ones like NHL Stanley Cup, you know, it's kind of in that wheelhouse. There is, you know, seemingly no fighting in this, as far as I can tell. I played an entire game and tried to do some like pretty, you know, I don't know, obnoxious stuff to see if I could trigger a fight on the ice, and I never did. But yeah, it's, I don't know. It's one of these.
Yeah. I mean, it seems fine. Okay. So I do really want to just kind of go off on a tangent here, because Brett Hull.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny to me. Like, Brett Hull is one of like the few names of hockey players that like everybody knew. You had like Wayne Gretzky, you had Brett Hull, and you maybe had a few others, you know, and Brett Hull was no Wayne Gretzky, don't get me wrong, but he was like a very famous player, and he played for the St. Louis Blues. And like,
okay,
I don't know how it is that like until a few years ago when the St. Louis Blues actually won the Stanley Cup, for a very long time, as long as I can remember, at least, the idea of St. Louis actually winning a Stanley Cup was kind of seen as laughable by most people in hockey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out like how we had one of the best hockey players in the world at that time and was still like, you know, a punching bag as far as like hockey commentary is. I don't know. And like, maybe I am misremembering
just because
things.
One play. I mean, maybe it's also just that like one player is not actually enough to like,
yeah,
make
no,
a team successful. You know, I think you got to like build around them for that to work. Like,
sure. Yeah.
That's like
but
the
also
thing
like,
that people always talk about. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. But I mean, like, also if you're Brett Hull though, like, don't you want to be on a...
Why do you stay yeah. there, right? Yeah.
I don't know. And so, like, I don't really remember. Like, I could be wrong. Maybe St. Louis was in contention to win a Stanley Cup once or twice back then, and I just don't remember it. I don't know. But I guess I'm pretty much completely talking out my butt here. But, like, hell, what else are we going to talk about today? So that's all I wanted to say.
Right,
that's
yeah. all I wanted to I mean, say. Yeah, no, fair. So you think we rank this one, or do you think we just put it in the unranked because it's a bog standard sports game?
I am not prepared to rank this. If you think you've got some insight into it, I am willing to defer to you on that.
Not really. I mean, I played a whole game. I actually scored a goal, but I don't really know how I did that. I don't have much in the way of like actual input on this other than that I found like the you know, live commentary feature a little bit charming, but that's not enough to rank one of these. So, I think Brett Hull is going in, not really the penalty box, but, he is leaving the field. So yeah.
Leaving the ice anyway. Yeah.
He's leaving the ice. Yes. That's the term you use for hockey.
Yep. The hockey field.
Yeah.
They could have, you know,
the hockey field.
I vaguely remember a time when like, inline hockey was trying to be a thing that didn't last very long.
Oh yeah, it did not last very long, but yeah, that absolutely was a thing that some folks tried to make happen during the heyday of rollerblade mania.
Yep, i.e. the early 90s.
I had a pair of rollerblades. Those were kind of fun.
Oh yeah, I did too. Like I
they were so much easier to get up on and move with than roller skates were, like, truly.
Yeah, you know, in a better world where, you know, like, walking and biking infrastructure is taken care of at least as well as driving infrastructure, I might, like, try and buy a pair of rollerblades again and get around on rollerblades. But
yeah,
we don't live in that world, and all the sidewalks are constantly broken, and it would not be safe to do that, so...
So next up, how about we talk about the other sports game in the mix here, Riddick Bowe Boxing.
Sure, Riddick Bowe Boxing. So Riddick Bowe, again, I should look up who's responsible for this.
This might be the other Beam Software game. No, wait, I know which one that is. I don't think it's this.
Let's see. This one is was developed by Malibu Interactive.
Malibu Interactive. Okay.
Yeah, and this one was published by Extreme Entertainment Group. And this one features Riddick Bowe. He's sort of, you know, like he is kind of the Mike Tyson of this game, if we're going to compare it to Mike Tyson's Punch Out. But we shouldn't do that because Mike Tyson's Punch Out is an interesting game. This just kind of feels like a clunky Rock'em Sock'em Robots sort of thing.
It even kind of looks like a Rock'em Sock'em Robots because the boxers in this are rendered very big, but from kind of a side perspective. And it's very clear that they have like different sprites for like the arm and the torso. So they really do look like, you know, like action figures boxing with each other. And this game is not fun. This game is very boring to play.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what much there is to say about this one. You know, the boxers don't really have much in the way of personality. I think Riddick Bowe is the only actual boxer in here. There may be one or two others that are actual real people.
The other ones feel like not real boxers. They're very like anonymous, like personality types for boxers, but not in like a fun way or anything. They're just there. And yeah, you can fight your way up a ladder or up a you know, tournament ladder, or you can just do, you know, I think you can just do like single rounds in this, but
you've got a whole career mode where your boxer can age and have to hang up their gloves because they're too old to fight anymore. Like
well, that's potentially interesting, but I think the game itself would have to be interesting at all for that to matter. So
I would look more through the instruction manual, but the instruction manual linked from the archive is oriented the wrong way.
I think maybe the same person did this that did the Brett Hull hockey manual scans because they are also oriented the wrong way.
Oh my goodness.
I couldn't really read either one of those, and did not really care enough to go through the effort to figure out how to reorient them in some way so that I could read them.
Like they cared about as much of that as we care about these games, so I can't get on their case too much. I don't know. Does this one get unranked as well?
Yeah, I think so. I've got nothing here.
Yeah. You know, if you're a big fan of boxing, maybe this is an okay one of these. I doubt it, though, but I just don't care enough to really.
It seems unlikely.
So, all right. Well, that's three down. That's
right, Bo. Yes, three down. What's up next?
Okay, do we just talk about Lethal Enforcers?
Okay, let's talk about Lethal Enforcers, or rather, let's kind of talk about not talking about Lethal Enforcers, because that's what we've essentially decided to do here.
Yeah.
Lethal Enforcers, go ahead.
This is a Konami game. This one was compatible with a light gun. I don't know if it was compatible with the Super Scope. I kind of doubt that it was.
I don't think it was.
Yeah,
I never see this mentioned in lists of Super Scope games. Yeah. So.
But I mean, like, okay, so this is a game where you play as a cop that's called Lethal Enforcers. Off.
Yeah.
This thing came with its own gun peripheral, which they called the Justifier. Off.
Oof.
Ugh. Folks, there's a lot of really horrible stuff going on with cops right now. I mean, it was inevitable that the police were going to do more horrible things since we recorded this, but we actually recorded this before all of the Gaza protests and the crackdowns on said protests started happening, so there you go.
Yep.
Like, here in Seattle, they're closing libraries so that they can pay cops more and they can give themselves a retroactive raise that starts from when the freaking riots on January 6, 2021 happened. Really, like, doing everything but literally saying the quiet part out loud at this point. If you guys still think that there's anything good about cops, like, why are you still listening to this show? Like, what are you even doing?
Right.
What's wrong with you?
It's a shame, too, because this is like a shooting gallery game and it's like a wacky, goofy thing that would be fun if it wasn't about this. So,
yeah
we're just not going to mess with it. We're just not going to mess with it. We're not even going to talk about its merits as a game, I think. But yeah,
well, I'll say you actually lose health for shooting innocent people in this game. So you are punished more as a player than actual cops are for killing innocent people. So I guess that's something in its favor. But
I guess so.
I don't know. Yeah. Do we want to call this an F for being a cop game, or would we want to call it unranked because we just don't even want to deal with it?
I'm going to leave it up to you, honestly.
You know what? It's an F for being a cop game.
There we go. F for being a cop game. Moving on, let's talk about maybe the game I actually, just as a game itself, have the least to say about with this this month, Super Battle Tank 2. This is the sequel to Gary Kitchen's Super Battle Tank, I believe, is what the full name of that game was. Super Battle Tank 2. What's up with this one?
I don't know. What is up with this one? Gary Kitchen's name isn't on it. Does he still have anything to do with the Super Battle Tank license at this point?
I don't know, because honestly, I played this game for like 2 minutes and I was like, this seems exactly the same as the first Super Battle Tank game. Like, this seems like the same game, and maybe there's differences in like the way that some of the levels play out or something. But this is a game just like the first Super Battle Tank, which is sort of like aiming to be like a tank sim. So you're in a tank on a battlefield. You have very limited range of view out like the eye hole of the tank. I don't know what you call that. And then different buttons do things like rotate the tank, switch weapons and start the tank moving forward, speed it up or slow it down. And then you can flip into a map screen that shows you where you are on the map and what your trajectory is, and also where the enemy tanks you're trying to take down are. The whole general kind of Gulf War aesthetic notwithstanding, this is this is just sort of a very mechanical, very, very slow paced simulation that is occasionally a little bit fun when you actually do encounter another tank and you have a fight with them, essentially, by trying to aim at them, trying to like lead your shots so that it will hit the other tanks as they kind of move around. But yeah, I mean, it's literally the same. It's literally so similar to the original Super Battle Tank. And we didn't really have much to say about that one either. So I have less than that going on here.
Yeah, I mean, if we were doing rap episodes back then, this almost certainly would have been on that list.
Yeah.
Even if I wasn't kind of put off by military stuff, especially right now, as it looks like, hey, we might be, as of this recording, we might be on the brink of a whole new war in the Middle East. We don't know yet. Hopefully, this comment aged poorly and it just didn't happen by the time this comes out. But I don't know. We'll have to wait and see, yeah. I guess. But anyway, sorry.
We'll have to wait and see.
Enough about that. Gary Kitchen is credited with design and programming on this one. So I see that now.
I guess they just took it. He just, for whatever reason, they were like, okay, maybe the name isn't doing us any favors here. So Super Battle Tank 2 goes without the name. But yeah, Gary's still completely involved in it. Presumably this is some sort of an iteration on Super Battle Tank, but yeah, we didn't care enough about that one to really dig into it, and we care, I think it's fair to say, even less about this one.
Yeah, where did Super Battle Tank end up? It looks like it's in the F tier.
Yeah, seems right.
So, do we put this one there too?
I think so.
All right, sounds good to me. Just a very, very slow-paced game. I don't know why you'd want to play this, but
no.
There you go.
If I was going to play a thing like this, I would rather go for the kind of like, you know, science fictional version of like, you know, Mech Warrior doing something similar to this. I don't want to driving a real world tank around and blowing up other tanks with it is never a thing that has been like a fantasy for me. So this just like does not do anything for me.
All right. Well, that one's out of the way. We've just got one left. And hey, this is an actual freaking game.
Thank God. Jesus Christ. what do we got here? What do we got?
We got Choplifter 3.
Yeah. Okay. Choplifter 3.
Choplifter 3 or Choplifter 3 Rescue Survive, as it might be called. I don't know. This one was developed by Beam Software. This is the other Beam Software and was published by Extreme Entertainment Group. This is a lot like the classic Super Battle Tank Choplifter game. It plays very similarly, I think. This is based on an old arcade game.
From my memory of it, because I've played some other older versions of Choplifter before, and this does seem very similar. Choplifter is like an arcade game that I think goes back to 1983. And it does have kind of that vibe of, you know, here is a vehicle that moves in kind of a novel way, and you're doing what at the time would have been a slightly novel thing with it. This is very, very similar, though the graphics are like considerably better. Obviously there's a really nice color palette to this, but you're in a chopper, you take off, and you go, side to side, and kind of side scrolling, but importantly, self-directed scrolling, levels, to rescue prisoners from prisoners and like downed soldiers that are on the ground. So you use your chopper's weapons to, you know, take out enemy forces, and then you land. The little guys run into your chopper, and then you take them back to base and drop them off. And that's the game, basically. Not covering any fundamental features of this one, do you think?
You can sort of challenge yourself, because like you've got a quota of hostages, which seems a little bit cruel when you think about what's supposedly going on here, but, you know, whatever, it's a game. So you've got a quota that you got to meet. You can only hold so many people at once in your helicopter before you have to drop them off and pick up more people. So I guess, you know, there's sort of a challenge to, you know, picking up exactly, you know, one less than your quota and trying to maximize how many hostages you pick up to, you know, drive up your score. I guess that's kind of neat. Your helicopter can be outfitted with different weapons that you can collect, which I found very few of them all that
they all kind of do similar things, honestly. Like, there's multiple different kinds of bombs that all work in pretty similar ways. But yeah.
So also, I said this was based on an old arcade game, but actually the arcade game came later. This was the original Choplifter came out in 1982 for the Apple II, and it also came out for old Ataris and VIC-20s. VIC-20. You could play this on VIC-20. In 1982. Cool. And it was made by Broderbund, I forget how to pronounce that. So, you know, it's got, you know, a cool legacy to it. And, you know, if you're a fan of those older classic games, this seems to do what those games did, but, you know, with better graphics and, you know, probably more varieties of weapons and things like that. So, you know, it seems fine for what it is.
There's nothing wrong with this. Yeah. This is a perfectly okay version of Choplifter. And it does have kind of that sort of, you know, classic, you know, pick up and play, very simple game vibe going on. And you know, it's still pretty fun. You could do a lot worse than if you want to play Choplifter, you could do a lot worse than this version of it, for sure.
Yeah, and if you just want to play any game that was released in January of 1994, you could do a heck of a lot better, but you could also do a heck of a lot worse. And
it is true.
I think as a result of that, you know, maybe C is a good place for this one. You know, it's fine.
I think that sounds like the definition of a C-tier game.
Yeah. It's not doing anything really special, but, you know, if you are a fan of classic Choplifter, maybe you don't want it trying to do any, you know, anything super novel, because that'll, you know, kind of make it something that it isn't, you know, at least, you know, for you. So,
I would say, if you're going to play any game out of the six we talked about in this episode, this is the one, for sure.
Yeah, Choplifter 3 is an actual game.
Choplifter 3, actual video game. I gotta say,
put that on the back of the box.
I gotta say, our decision to put Lester the Unlikely in C tier is feeling better and better to me all the time. That's another game where, like, if you were to look at everything that came out that month and you just randomly picked that one, you could do so much worse. So
yeah, like, that game's got such a reputation, and yet it is far from the worst game that came out that month by like a lot.
By a lot, yeah. So that's it. That's all the games from January of 94. We're sorry this episode was a bummer. We hope you at least had fun listening to us, you know, go through these. But yeah, That's it. I've got literally nothing else to say about any of these.
Yeah. Remember, good games came out this month too. And also, you know what? Hey, you know, we've said some pretty nasty things about some of these games. Let's also remember, making games is hard.
Making games is hard. Yeah, none of the stuff we said should reflect on the people who made these games. Just, you know, sometimes you work hard and you still don't produce a good thing. And that's okay. That just happens sometimes.
Most of us are going to do that in our lives if we haven't already.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Absolutely.
I guess that's going to do it then, folks. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with a Playing with Power episode next time.
Until then, I am Zero.
I'm Chase Keys.
Play it loud.
For show notes, game rankings, links to social media, research references, and more, check out our website, snescapades.show. Our intro-outro song is How Now Brown Cow by TechnoAx, who very generously offers a ton of great music for free at technoax.com, TEKNOAXE.com. Thanks for listening.